Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome in to Outkick the Show. I'm your fearless leader, Clay Travis. A little bit late today compared to normal because I was on with Martha McCollum on Fox News. I hope all of you are having a fantastic Tuesday, wherever you may be across this great nation. We've got a lot to dive into. I'm going to talk about Caitlin Clark against Angel Reese. The ratings for the men's and women's NCAA tournament continue to skyrocket. J.K. Rowling, when did she become the bravest woman on the planet? Shakira decides to weigh in on the Barbie movie and has provoked a ton of outrage and discussion. And I agree, I think, with what she said, because she agreed basically with what my wife said about the Barbie movie. We'll get all to that in a moment. But first, I want to talk about last night's game. Women's Elite Eight going on. Caitlin Clark going up against Angel Reese in a repeat of the Iowa versus LSU Women's Championship last year. Caitlin Clark comes out, goes for 41 points, plays phenomenally well, and the fallout of Caitlin Clark being good at basketball is actually crazier to me than Caitlin Clark being successful. I believe Iowa's women went off at like a 2.5-point favorite. We'll see how many people end up watching it. But this kind of turned into a crazy identity politics focused story. Today you had Paul Pierce on Skip Bayless's Undisputed show saying he was blown away that a little white girl could be this successful playing against black women. He also said that Paul Pierce said that. Jemele Hill came out and said the only reason people are paying attention to Caitlin Clark is because she's white. And I just want to start with this. Identity politics taking over the world of sports actually is dividing us instead of white, black, Asian, and Hispanic people, uniting in sports of all places where there is no BS. You can either perform or you can't. Paul Pierce, the little white girl comment, it would not be acceptable to say that about any other race, or certainly for Skip Bayless to refer to a little black girl or a little black boy if they did well in a sport. I mean, this is crazy. And I'm cautiously optimistic because I think a lot of people are overwhelmingly rising up and rejecting this idea. And for those of you who have been longtime Outkick viewers or longtime readers of mine, maybe you even read this book that is sitting right next to me right now. Maybe you read one of my past books. I said if I could get one thing to become a part of the national conversation, it would be this. White people, black people, Asian people, and Hispanic people all can be racist. That is, every ethnic group, every racial group can have racist among it. There are racist black people. There are racist white people. There's racist Asian people. There's racist Hispanic people. And to me, the definition of racism, especially as it is tended to be followed today, is the idea that you can't do something because of your identity. In other words, Caitlin Clark can't be the best women's basketball player because she's white. Well, I happen to think that right now, Nikola Jokic is the best player in the NBA, and he's a white guy. And maybe the second best player in the NBA might be Luka Doncic, and he's a white guy. Your race does not define what you are capable of or what you are not capable of. Your own individual work ethic, talent, and pursuit of excellence defines what you can achieve. And so this idea that you're going to define Caitlin Clark as Jemele Hill does because she's a white girl, or as Paul Pierce does because she's a little white girl, I don't think you should define her excellence based on her race. And And the fact that we allow identity politics to encapsulate so much of the discussion is, I think, a failure. And I asked this question yesterday in relation to Jamel's comments. It used to be, I really think, for most of the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, for most of my life as a sports fan, no one sat around and tried to define sports or athletes based on their identity. And I can only speak for myself. I'm 44. I'm going to turn 45 on Saturday. I had the Michael Jordan dunking from the free throw line poster in my bedroom. I had Bo Jackson with the baseball bat on his shoulders. Barry, if you remember that, the baseball bat on his shoulders with the shoulder pads, one of the most iconic photos I think ever taken. I was a huge Cincinnati Reds fan. I had Eric Davis posters. I had Barry Larkin posters. I was a big WWF at the time fan. I think I had Brutus the Barber Beefcake, maybe Hulk Hogan. I had wrestling posters in my bedroom. And I don't remember ever defining any of those people based on their race. And I talked about this before. I feel like we're being dragged back into the 50s, 60s, and 70s with many of these conversations. I don't remember ever hearing somebody argue, oh, T. Martin can't succeed as Tennessee's quarterback because he's black. I don't remember anybody arguing, oh, Steve McNair can't succeed as the Titans quarterback because he's black. In my youth, in 1998, T. Martin won Tennessee a national championship 13-0. My favorite college football season of all time. And in 1999, Steve McNair took the Tennessee Titans to the Super Bowl, my favorite NFL season of all time. Those are my teams. All of this had been decided. And then at some point in time, we all got dragged back. We're not moving forward in our discussion. We're getting dragged back. Now, I think social media was a part of it. But we're defining people based on immutable identity as opposed to individual excellence. In other words, I think one of the least interesting things about anyone out there is their race, because none of us choose our race. I happen to think that gender is real and none of us choose our gender. What you think as a black, white, Asian, Hispanic man or woman is not that interesting to me, because your identity, to me, shouldn't dictate what your thoughts are. And what we have created, it seems to me, in the past decade or so, and sports has been a big part of this, is we've defined what people believe based on immutable characteristics. That is, your identity is disinteresting to me. Your individual opinions, very interesting to me. And I've written about this in my book, and I've talked about it a lot. Sports used to be the great unifier. You could be a doctor in a hospital, or you could be a janitor in a hospital. If you happen to be eating breakfast at the same time and sitting at the same table, you could have an opinion on how the local team was doing, college or pro, in a football season. When you're in a stadium or an arena and your team wins, you don't think about the race. You don't think about the gender. You don't think about the political persuasion of anybody that you turn around and high five. Sports uniquely transcended identity and brought people together who might otherwise have not a lot in common in the unifying bond of sports itself. We've lost that. Why? I think it's partly because social media, which is fundamentally artificial, is so far left-wing that all of the identity politics of the political universe filtered over into sports itself. And I think this is where having so many left-wing people in sports made it particularly fertile, because not only do you have a lot of left-wingers in sports, you also have a lot of people who might vote for Trump but feel the need to pretend that they don't in order to try to keep their jobs. So you end up with a lot of artificiality. You end up with the Jemele Hills of the world having basically only one argument, and that is, oh, everything is based on race. everything is racist. That's basically her entire argument. I don't dislike Jamel. People think that I do. I used to have her on the radio show back in the day. She was fun. She was funny. She was engaging. Heck, I reached out to Jamel years ago when I took the Fox Sports radio show and asked her, hey, who do you think would be good guests on this show? I thought she could have been really good in radio. I don't even know that she's employable now because she went so far into identity politics that there is almost no discussion from her that is remotely interesting that has anything to do with anything other than racial politics. I think that's disappointing because I don't actually think that defines her, because when she had success in her career, it was before she decided that Donald Trump was a white supremacist and kind of lost her way.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And people can say, oh, you've got all these opinions. You're just a white guy, whatever. Like, I don't think that my race or my gender really impacts my opinion that much. And look, I think there's a lot of white people out there. You see them walking around the street, you have no idea what their politics could be. I think increasingly that's true, especially with men, when it comes to Asian, Hispanic, white, or black men. I think the individual aspect of the decision-making is starting to override the identity. But Caitlin Clark, to me, feels like just a proxy, a soldier in our identity politics universe. And I don't think that is very healthy. Now, credit to her for getting the win. It would have blown up the internet if she had done the "you can't see me" or if she had been taunting the LSU women like she was taunted. A lot of people out there are talking about the national anthem. I don't get into that in this particular case because I don't think there was an intent designed by LSU's women to behave or not behave in a certain way. But I do think it's the case that LSU's basketball team was defined as the villain and Caitlin Clark was defined as the hero. There's a protagonist and an antagonist in every story. And I think LSU leaned into that antagonism a little bit too much. Credit to Iowa, got the win, came out. I watched much of this game, couldn't miss early, found a way to get the dub. Now, all basketball ratings are going up. And I wanted to mention this because the NC State Duke Elite Eight game on Sunday, Easter Sunday, had over 15 million viewers. That Elite Eight game between Duke and NC State had more viewers than any women's college basketball game of all time. Now, maybe there's going to be a really big number that comes out, probably will be, for the LSU-Iowa game. And if Iowa ends up getting to play against undefeated South Carolina in a rematch of last year's Final Four, then I would imagine there will be a substantial audience for that as well. But the men's tournament is dunking all over the women's tournament in terms of overall viewership. And the narrative has not complied with what many people at the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and ESPN wanted to be true. That is that the women's tournament was more popular than the men's. Caitlin Clark is very popular. A lot of people want to watch her games. If Iowa had been eliminated, they played that close game against, was it West Virginia in the second round? Nobody would have paid attention to most of what's happening in the women's tournament now. And so they have not really a great brand as women's basketball. They have one luminescent star. The audience will collapse again next year when Caitlin Clark goes to the WNBA. Now, maybe she'll elevate it. But I do think it's significant that NC State Duke had nearly 50% more, 5 million more viewers an Elite Eight men's game on Sunday, than any women's college basketball game ever has had. And by the way, that was also true of Tennessee against Purdue, which also had more viewership than any, to this point, college basketball women's game that has ever been played. A couple of other stories that are out there. I want to just take a pause for a minute here. We launched a new product today. Some of you will remember that back in the day, I decided to get into the pants business. And some of you are like, what in the world are you talking about, Clay? It's probably been 9 or 10 years ago. I decided that I wanted to sell college-colored pants. So if you were a Georgia Bulldog fan, I had red. If you were a University of Tennessee fan like me, I had orange. I was going to sell OutKick pants. And I bought, this is not a joke, $50,000 worth of college-colored pants. And we couldn't sell them. I was like, this is a gold mine. This is genius. The idea was a good one, which was, I don't want to have to constantly be trying to sell product. I don't want to have to go out there and, you know, constantly be making advertisers happy. I want to own the brands that advertise directly to my audience. I have an opinion that much of the advertising industry is total BS. And it's actually the wokest industry out there. They run from people like me who have opinions that like 75 or 80% of the population agrees with. But rather than focus on the negative associated with that, I founded OutKick. OutKick ends up very successful business. I sold it a few years ago. I'm now going to be, along with Buck, building out a variety of different businesses that we advertise directly to our audience on the radio show. And the latest of those, Crockett Coffee, named after my idol, Davy Crockett. Be sure you're right, and then go ahead. I grew up with a coonskin hat, cap with a fake Old Betsy rifle. I thought I was super normal when I was a kid. You know what I wanted to do when I was 6 years old? I wanted to go visit the Alamo, and I knew every fact about the entire Alamo. The Siege, I had read every book. I've always been a history nerd. Not kidding, age of six, my dad took me to San Antonio. I think that's the only time I've ever been to San Antonio. It was a big trip. We went to the Alamo. We went to go visit. We took a tour. I knew the answer to every question that the tour guide could ask. Again, when you're the kid, you think that's normal. Now that I've got three kids of my own, I'm like, this may shock you. I was a little bit of an abnormal kid. But my point on that is Davy Crockett's an American original. And I have come to really like coffee. I used to drink soda. I was a Mountain Dew guy. My wife was on me for years. You need to be healthier. You need to drink less soda, drink less Cokes, drink less Sprites, all that stuff. I barely drink soda now. I almost exclusively drink coffee. And I've got Crockett Coffee in this mug right now. I am drinking it. It is fantastic. We got K-cups. We got ground. You can make the choice. Go to CrockettCoffee.com. Just tell me what you think. We advertised it for the first time ever today. We had almost immediately over 500 orders. The goal with this company is to give content creators freedom to know we're anti-cancel culture. We want to be supporting not only the Clay and Buck show, but a huge number of content creators out across the entire landscape. And we want to do this with a variety of different companies. And we want to basically take aim at the woke advertising industry and so many companies that we believe are not willing to serve the masses, whether it is a beer company like Bud Light, whether it is any other company out there. We just saw with Planet Fitness what they've got going on. We want to be able to say, look, we believe in the First Amendment. You guys know I believe in boobs. We believe in American history. We think America is a uniquely transcendent, greatest country in the history of the world. And if you agree with that, we think you're going to like our coffee, and we think that you will like other branded products that we bring out in the future. We're going to be advertising it a lot on Clay and Buck. I'm excited about it. I think it's the future. I think it creates new opportunities. All right, a couple of other stories that are out there. Shakira weighed in on the Barbie movie. Because you definitely needed Shakira, those hips don't lie, to weigh in on the Barbie movie. And she said she had two sons, and she didn't like it because it was emasculating. I didn't watch the movie, so I don't have a strong opinion on the Barbie movie. It's exactly basically what my wife said. She watched it on one of our trips, watched it on the airplane, said she really wanted to like it, but just didn't think it was very good. And as a dad of three boys, a mom of three boys, didn't think that it was particularly uplifting in general, either of women or men, but also not that smart and not that well done. Now, a lot of people disagree. The movie made $1 billion or whatever it made. But Shakira is now under fire for not saying the Barbie movie was amazing. This reminds me of, do you remember when the first Black Panther came out? And if you said anything other than the first Black Panther is the greatest superhero movie that's ever been made, it was racist. You were not allowed to just be like, it was an okay Marvel movie, which is what the reality is. It was just okay. It was not nowhere near the Christopher Nolan Batman series. In my opinion, it was nowhere near the Avengers Endgame. That aspect. It wasn't even as good as a couple of the Captain America movies. I would say that Black Panther was an average Marvel movie. Better than some, not as good as others. You couldn't say it. And now if you're a woman and you're a feminist, you can say, hey, we think chicks with dicks are heroes, but you're not allowed to say, I didn't think Barbie was very good. I just think it's funny when whatever the consensus emerges as being the truth, if you have a counter intuitive take there, as Shakira did, the movie's been out for like a year now, as Shakira did when she came out with this take on the Barbie movie, people absolutely lose their minds. So I thought that was intriguing. I probably will speak on this tomorrow for a longer period of time. Because I want to get off before the Hutton and Withrow and their show comes on here. But I love J.K. Rowling. I really appreciated the Harry Potter novels. I thought they were incredible works of art. I love how many kids she got to read. I was very impressed with the movie adaptation of those movies as well. I love and admire fearlessness. And right now, J.K. Rowling is one of the most fearless, wealthy creators in the entire country. She is refusing to bow down to the idea, and I can't believe this is controversial, that there is a difference between men and women, that biology is real, and that men shouldn't be able to just identify themselves as women. I talked about this yesterday in the context of the NOW, National Organization for Women, saying that you were basically a white supremacist member of the patriarch if you believed that men shouldn't compete in women's sports. And J.K. Rowling is standing up to a law that was passed in Scotland that would basically consider it to be a hate crime if you misgender someone. And again, I'm basically painting with a broad brush here in terms of what exactly the law said. But J.K. Rowling stood up and said, hey, if this law is going to be enforced, you should come arrest me because I'm not going to apologize for my opinions. And I don't believe that men pretending to be women are actual women. Bravo to her. You will see, and I tweeted this recently, lots of people who are very wealthy, billionaires even, Mark Cuban, Howard Stern among them, even billionaires that made their money off of being rebellious, now be terrified of being opposed to whatever the national consensus on a story is. It would have been very easy for J.K. Rowling just to pretend this story didn't exist. It would have been incredibly easy for her to avoid all of the content, all of the conflict, all of the negative attention she's gotten. But she believes that there is such a thing as truth. And I wish more billionaires had her fearlessness. I wish more billionaires had her bravery. I absolutely love what J.K. Rowling is doing. If you haven't been paying attention, I would certainly encourage you, go buy the Harry Potter books, but also go follow her on Twitter /X and see what she is willing to do to speak truth to very powerful interest aligned against her. Okay, I love all of you. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. I'll be back tomorrow. Kelly Stewart and I will be doing a Final Four preview. Get you ready for maybe both the men's and the women's Final Four. I appreciate all of you. Thanks for your support of OutKick. This has been OutKick, the show.